I ngā mana, i ngā reo, i ngā tai whā, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Nā, i te tāua tōku pāpā, no te awa tupua o Whanganui Ahau, i te tāua tōku māma, no Ngaitai, te whakatohia Ahau hoki, no reira, ko Selwyn Hayes tōku ngā, tēnā koutou, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure and an honour to be in front of you today. At a very distinguished hui. So before I start, I'd just like to thank Selwyn Kātini for making me feel popular at this conference. I've never heard so many acknowledgements to me. Oh, sorry, to you, sorry. Great name. Hoi anō, the first hui taumata, 1984. I was a nine-year-old boy without a care in the world, growing up in what I would call a very typical Māori whānau in Taniatua, a small town in the Eastern Bay of Plenty, unbeknownst to me at that time, was on the verge of being slammed by Rogernomics. And I understand that Vicky Robertson suggests that we should dispense with lamenting about such times, but it had a huge impact on my little town and thus my whānau, and serves as a reminder for me around this kaupapa building our capacity, our workforce capacity, so as not to be on the bottom runs again. Hoi anō, 30 years later, with hard work, luck, and fortuitous support from whānau and teachers, I'm able to bend my current work around my little whānau, as we've recently moved to Rotorua from Wellington. My whānau upbringing and whakapapa provide my first pō for my worldview on building capability. I'm also a partner at EY, it's a global accounting firm, and co-founder to the soon-to-be-launched Tahi. Sorry, brace yourself, this is a prezi. I thought I'd try and do something different. If you, any air sickness, please just follow the exit signs. Hoi anō, Tahi, a world-class Māori professional services firm, exclusively focused on te ao Māori, with the global resources of EY. Tahi represents my deep passion to help Māori organisations succeed. And I heard the term succeed to what? Well, success is in the eye of the beholder. And so our job is to help those striving for such success. And along with my tahi colleagues, focus our contribution to the ongoing legacy of Māori development. I've been fortunate to have helped over 60 different Māori organisations during the last 12 years, so my passion and experience provides another pō for my worldview on building capability. Based on this worldview, I plan to share some personal thoughts on building workforce capability, primarily thinking ahead to what my two beautiful tamariki that you saw before, Kapu Arangi and Te Waikura, what they'll be thinking about their tamariki, my moko, in 2040. And I'll quickly cover three areas. As an advisor to iwi organisations, I'll just quickly note a couple of things around iwi organisations. Number one, they all tell me they're unique, and yes, they are. But there are many common aspirations. In fact, all want to grow their people, all want to grow their organisations, to, amongst other things, do more of growing their people. So in terms of iwi growing their people, one of He Kaika Iki Ringa's six goals is to develop a skilled and successful workforce. A useful phrase, I think, to summarise the basic aspiration common to most iwi, which is to help their people into meaningful employment. The measures related to that particular goal strive to close the gap, and I know closing the gap is supposed to be a term that's not used these days, but it's still there. Closing the gap between Māori and the rest of New Zealand by 2040, on median wages and unemployment. And I think it was my boss, Ron McLeod, in the last hui taumata, that did a quick calculation off the back of an envelope, apparently, that suggested if we were to close the gap around wages and employment or unemployment, this would equal a capitalised figure of $40 billion to the New Zealand economy. His point really was to re-emphasise the economic development discussion back on the family unit rather than treaty settlements, if you take the $1 to $2 billion that they're worth now, albeit growing. So, second point around iwi growing their own organisations. So they want to grow themselves too, or rather aspire to build, rebuild, or enhance their own tribal nations. So this was mentioned yesterday, the notion of nation building. That requires a decent workforce too. The Hikaiko Kiringa's goal of skilled and successful workforce has a specific strategy of analysing the skills that iwi and Māori collectives need. Behind that, quality information is essential. So that this analysis, that they're about to do, or hopefully about to do, should be very important in the development of our nations and future-proofing those nations. I suspect that this analysis will indicate the time for lawyers have passed. So there goes half my qualifications. The current time is around good, prudent financial management, so I'm holding on. But the future is really loaded towards science, ICT, design, and the creative industries. So overlaying that good foundation of that Linda was talking about in terms of the softer, wider skills, specific industries, the creative industries, will help our collectives better protect, leverage, distribute, and transform our collective resources. So now I turn to comment on some global workforce trends that will impact on our future workforce. Firstly, and I'm not a demographer, we've got an expert in the building, perhaps still, in Tahu, and she's already stolen what I thought was going to be a great thing around demographic dividend. Hoeno, she explained in terms of the New Zealand context, our youthful Māori population in relation to the older, wider New Zealand general population. That's actually a trend that's happening around the world. So you've got older economies such as Russia, also China, with older populations, they will be forced to source their talent from younger economies like India and Indonesia. I think that will exacerbate the situation within New Zealand, but I think selfishly, from a te ao Māori or Māori perspective, Māori workforce perspective, I think this is an opportunity, meaning that if we can upskill our Māori with relevant skills for now and the future, they can take advantage of what is out there in New Zealand and the world. Secondly, there is a growing mismatch globally for the skills that are needed from employers and the talent that's been produced. Although educational access has grown worldwide, not enough student graduates with the skills desired by employers globally are being produced to match that need. So that's going to further exacerbate the various pockets of skilled labour, the demand for such skilled labour, and where they should go. Diversity is also a new standard for employers globally, not just gender diversity, but race, religion, age, sexuality, and I guess underlying that, diversity of thought. And not just to fill the skills gap either. For example, EY has recently published a perspective on gender diversity based on the mountain of research saying that gender balance on boards improves corporate performance. Another global trend is the fact that, and we all know this, the talent market is global and mobile. Within the New Zealand context and the discourse around this, we've had those phrases such as the brain drain come up every few years. This is what this global trend is talking to. People are moving everywhere, not restricted by the borders that they're in. The last point there is one that's personal to me. Skilled employees increasingly hold the balance of power. Lifelong employment is a thing of the past. Employees prioritise and employees' priorities and preferences will dictate the future workforce and what the workplace will look like, particularly now that technology makes things easier. So my move from a main office in Wellington to working virtually from Vegas is a live example. So what does this all mean for the future, for our future workforce, and what should we do now to build our future capability? So here's my Te Kauhinati worth to start some solution storming. Or rather, after John Tamiri's reference to EY being a bad investment, I've tried to up the game a bit and chip in Tahi Tara. Another name drop, whānau. So, some solutions. This is the risky part now, where I put my neck up. I think we should incentivise educational achievement and vocational training. 2 weeks ago, I spoke to Diane Foreman, a globally successful New Zealand businesswoman who came from a very humble background. She said that the one piece of advice that turned her business into a success overnight was to incentivise her entire workforce. So rather than just providing employees with annual bonuses based on annual targets, which may be relevant for her executives, she provided shop assistants with daily cash bonuses based on daily targets. So I think we should drip feed all our education and vocational grants and scholarships according to achievement milestones. Pay them in cash immediately upon receipt of positive test results, preferably in $50 bills. I know this is bribery, but 2 points. One, it could be used as a spark out of underachieving habits, not as a permanent ATM. And more importantly, you can replace money with opportunities and experiences. For example, my 10-year-old nephew Tyrese is a gun league player for the Putawaki under-11 Stags, and based in Kawarau, the coastline under-11 champions. a relative incentive for him achieving academically is a trip out of Taniatua to a Warriors training camp, and then later building that up to the point where he can go to the state of origin. So, we should, I think, incentivise educational achievement and vocational training. We see it everywhere with our nenis and kurus incentivising our mukus to do what they ask, with coke and pies. Look, and just before I move on, I should note it was a Māori that gave Diane Foreman that business-changing advice too, Ngāti Hine Sir Ralph Norris. Number two. I understand that our education system doesn't work for many of our tamariki, particularly Māori boys. So we heard that loud and clear today, and we know it well. So how about we create alternative success pathways through entrepreneurship? Perhaps Te Whānau o Waipareira, in conjunction with the J Geeks, can create an entrepreneur tai wānanga, and you can see the motto now, Fire te Iti Nui, and harness the inner hōtutu of our Māori boys that are failing in great numbers. We should incentivise their achievement too. I'm sure a profit share and the successful business ideas that they will create will help pay for the scheme. Number three, taking the scholarship lead one step further, iwi and Māori collectives should provide fewer but bigger education grants, but be selfish and only fund qualifications and research that their organisation will need. Bond scholarship recipients for a period of cheap employment too. Why not? These larger scholarships will be significant investments for iwi. Fourth, before we come too prescriptive on workforce futures, being aligned to iwi aspirations, so Tai Hall, iwi must have quality information. Quality information on their people, their people's needs and aspirations, and the world around them, so that they can more accurately articulate their kaupapa and strategic plans, as well as better assess their opportunities. Perhaps we need some MIBs, not men in black, but Māori information bureaus to unlock the untapped mountain of statistical data currently held in central government. And so a quick shout out to my better half, because I'm the lesser half, Kiri Kōwhai, who's educated me for years in this kaupapa. We need to get the information. Information is knowledge. Knowledge is power. Kia ora. Lastly, on a global stage, I'm dead keen. I've been talking to a lot of people about this, asking questions, to enrol our babies and into kaupapa Māori early childcare centres and kura that are established in partnership with local Chinese, Indonesian, Malaysian communities to set up our kids for the future global experiences and success. Trilingual fluency with at least one Asian language should be the baseline for our kohanga and kura kids. Not only will these economies require our skilled workforce, but also our food, our IP, and I'm sure our sharp negotiators like Ripika Evans could secure funding from these respective economies. Alas, that completes my te kauhinete, hopefully ko tahi tāra, as a start on some solution storming for building our workforce capability. In closing, I'd just like to acknowledge not only my beginnings, but the hard work that has created the legacy that we now stand upon. So to you all that have made that contribution, and to our rangatira that I stand before, kia ora koutou, turuturua whiti whakamaua kia tina, tina, haumi hui, tāiki.